Our message tonight is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 49, Understanding the Believer's Resurrection Body. The Jehovah's Witnesses cult claims that Jesus ascended to heaven apart from the body that he sacrificed on the cross, so they deny the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus. However, a former professor at the Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois, has taught a view that is close to that. For he claimed that Jesus Christ's body at his resurrection was transformed into a spiritual body without flesh and bones, that Jesus only occasionally materialized to look like he had flesh and bones after his resurrection, and that for apologetic reasons, in other words, to demonstrate to his disciples that he was not actually dead anymore. And this is in a book by Dr. Robert Culver, who used to be a professor at TEDS, or the Evangelical Divinity School, and he was writing a book to critique this professor. This view was eventually publicly countered by nearly three dozen Christian groups, and of course the professor, Murray Harris, lost his job, and I think the president of the seminary was also dismissed. So we need to understand whether the resurrection body is the same one that dies but is reconstituted, or whether it is unrelated to the body that dies, or some other view. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 49 provides us the answer. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, that may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it had pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in incorruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, so are they that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Okay, the resurrection body. This is always interesting. Whenever, as a pastor or as a chaplain years ago, I have visited believers who are on death's door, they've often wanted to know, what's my body going to be like, Pastor? What's it going to be like? Will I be able to eat? Will I be sensitive to cold and heat? Will this sore foot bother me anymore? That kind of a thing. Well, after his long argument in defense of the resurrection, Paul anticipated the question by those who denied it as to how dead believers were possibly raised and with what body they might have. Such questions did not originate in wisdom, so Paul reacted to these questions with the admonition, thou fool. The word fool, you remember, when Paul uses the word fool, it's very strong. It's like what we would use in our vocabulary when we would call someone stupid. It's very strong. So Paul is, you know, critiquing the people who are even asking the question. He then clarified that God's work to raise the dead can be likened to the incomprehensible process and nature of the transformation of a seed that is sown to die, much like a human body that is sown in death in the grave, that results in the resurrection of the living plant from the dead seed. We have a garden in the back of our yard, and not long ago my wife planted a zucchini. And what's interesting is the seed out of which it came, the pod at the outside of the seed is still caught on one of the leaves, and it's hanging on there. But that little leaf, that little seed part is dead, but the plant's doing fine. But the plant that came out looks entirely different than the seed. The plant is full of vigor, and it's green, and it's growing, but that little seed is dead. And that's the idea that Paul's establishing here. What you sow of the human body, though it's related to the human body, is not the same that is raised. It's reformatted entirely differently. And of course, the Slates are here. They have a big greenhouse, and they know all about that. They plant seeds all the time, and they see what comes up is different than the seeds. It's the plant. And it's full of vigor and so forth. Well, God gives the resurrected party a body as it pleases him. And to each kind of seed that is sown in death, its own unique resurrection body that sprouts out of the dead seed. In effect, then, Paul denied both extreme errors regarding the resurrection. First of all, he denied that the resurrected body is the same physical body that dies but is only resuscitated. So the body that we will have in our resurrection is not this body just resuscitated. It won't be just the same body made alive. That's a wonderful truth. But he also denied the Jehovah's Witness idea that the resurrected body is totally unrelated to the body that is sown in death. And that's the belief of the Jehovah's Witnesses and also the former Trinity Evangelical Divinity School prof. The resurrection body, like a seed that is sown in nature, is related to what is sown, but it is formatted very differently. That's all we know. We can't fathom that. But we do have some descriptions later in the message. We'll get into some interesting descriptions on the body. Well, Paul continued to explain that just like there are different kinds of bodies in the natural realm, like bodies of men, bodies of animals, fishes, birds, so there are heavenly bodies as well as earthly bodies. Then among even the heavenly bodies, there are differences in glory. You have the glory of the sun, which is different from the moon. And then you have the glory of the stars. And the stars differ from each other in glory. In fact, we know what Paul didn't know because we have microscopes now. There are galaxies out in space. And you've got some galaxies that are formed like a spiral. You have some galaxies that are like a spiral, but if you look at them sideways, the edges, one edge is tipped up and the other is tipped down like this. And each of these edges are full of thousands upon thousands of stars, huge. And these galaxies are going through space at tremendous speeds. And yet they don't bang into one another. It's just an amazing thing. But anyway, there are different glories of galaxies as well as there are different glories of stars. Well, Paul then supplied all this information and he applied it to the believer's resurrection in verses 42 to 49. The natural body is sown in death, in corruption, but it is raised incorruptible. That's interesting. You will have no cells in the new body that age or die. None of that. It's raised incorruptible. Isn't that great? The body is sown in dishonor in death, but it is raised in glory. We know from a passage in the book of Daniel chapter 12, that they that be righteous shall shine as the stars. So we're going to reflect the glory of God. It's amazing. The believer's body is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. This morning in our sermon, we talked about David. And he was fighting a Goliath, a giant like Goliath, but he was in his 60s. And he just about died because he didn't have the strength to fight him. And another one of his men had to come along and help him. So from then on, David's men started fighting Philistine giants, and he retired. He went back to the throne and stayed on the throne for the rest of his life so he'd have a prolonged life. But David got weak. But in the resurrection, David is going to be more powerful than he ever was on this earth, which is neat. The body is sown in death is a natural body, but is raised a spiritual body. But it's still a body. You won't be raised in just sort of a, you know, you look like a spirit. You know, you'll actually have a body. Paul continued to contrast the earthly body we believers inherited from Adam with the spiritual body that we obtained through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, in verses 45 to 49, going on talking about the heavenly and the earthly, the spiritual, the natural, and so forth. Very interesting. Well, for greater clarity, we know from 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, that we will share the likeness of Christ's resurrection body. So examining his resurrection body from scriptural descriptions of it gives us insight into our resurrection bodies. Now, Jesus was crucified, we believe, at about age 37, 36, somewhere in there. But he did not have sin, so he did not have the effects of sin. There was no aging on him. The angels that appeared at the resurrection tomb appeared, the Greek word is for young men. They looked like they were 18, 19, 20 years of age, something like that. So great news for those of us who are a little bit over the edge. We're going to look a lot younger. Isn't that great? So, and those who are young will look just as young, but you'll have that youthfulness forever. So as with our current bodies, our resurrected bodies will have flesh and bone. You remember in Luke 24, verse 39, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, they thought they were seeing a ghost. And Jesus said, wait a minute, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone like I have. So we will have flesh and bone. It's interesting, he did not say flesh and blood. Paul said flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. He said we have flesh and bone. In another place, Jesus had an open gap in his side where the spear had been. There had been gaps in his hands and his feet, but there was no blood. So apparently the blood may not be a part of that body, but we will have flesh and bone for sure. We also know that we'll still have stomachs because Jesus later on was able to eat the food, and he predicted in Matthew's gospel that he will drink of the cup again new in the kingdom. So he's going, in his glorified body, he's going to drink of grape juice. We know that. So it's interesting. We will have flesh and bone. The new body will be the same bodies seen in Jesus retaining the wounds of his pre-death crucifixion in his hands and feet, and in the post-death spear wound to his side. Now that's interesting because the spear wound was after he died, but the nail prints in his hands and his feet was before he died. Both of those marks were in his body. So it's the same body that the Lord Jesus had, was resurrected. And also, our resurrected bodies will be able to ingest food and drink. I'm so grateful for that because I thoroughly enjoy that part of life. But we will have that privilege of doing that again. Yet, unlike our current bodies, our resurrection bodies will be able to materialize or dematerialize. In Luke 24, verse 31, Jesus disappeared. He was in the presence of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he disappeared, just like that. And so they ran down to Jerusalem, got into the room where the apostles were, and all of a sudden, he appeared, just like that. It's interesting, he asked the blessing up there in Emmaus, but then he ate the food that he'd asked the blessing for down in Jerusalem, and he ate the fish. So there's nothing wasted in the life of Christ. You ask for the blessing, you get to eat some food, so he ate it later in Jerusalem. We will be able to survive on earth, in space, or in heaven. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascended from the earth, and he went up to heaven in the cloud. Now, that means he had to go through space so he could handle space. My mother found this out, and she said, someday, son, I'm going to sit in the orbit around the earth. I want to see the sunrise that John Glenn saw when he went around the world. So she's going to sit up there, and you'll be able to see the sunrise and sunset too. So if you want to go to see one of the galaxies out somewhere in space, you won't have to get a spacesuit suit on. You'll be able to go just like you have the body. That's great. You may even be able to walk down to the bottom of the ocean. You know, it won't be a problem. You just go down there and see the big fish that are down there. We will have bodies that will be able to go anywhere. We will be able to appear unglorified like Jesus did in verse 15 to 35 of Luke 24 when he appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He just seemed like a regular stranger, like someone else. But he also appeared in glory to the Apostle Paul in a brilliant light when he was in heaven. Fascinating. Acts 9 verses 3 to 5 and Daniel 12 2 to 3 says that we will shine as the stars for heaven forever and ever. We will be asexual. Mark chapter 12, verse 25. We will neither be given in marriage, that's like a woman, nor marry like a man. So we won't be male and female. We'll be different from that. Some people feel that's a little shocking, but we have to remember we will be in a better state than what we have now. Marriage will be something that is, we'll look back upon as a little baby rattle. That's something that we needed back in that life, but now we're beyond that. We will not experience fatigue. We know that because the Bible says there's no night in heaven, it's just daytime, so you won't have to sleep. And we won't experience grief or pain or aging or death, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4 and 25. So Christ's resurrection body, the template for the believer's resurrection body, is the same body the believer has in this earthly life, but it is reformatted by God into a spiritual, incorruptible, powerful, glorious body. In fact, this is why Paul in Romans chapter 8 refers to the redemption of the body. The redemption of Christ has been applied to everything in the believer except to the body. It has to be applied to the body. Why? God wants us to have total victory where we had known defeat. We've known defeat in our bodies because in our bodies we've committed acts of sin. Well, in these bodies where we have committed acts of sin, God wants those bodies reformatted so that we will forever live and act righteously. So God wants total victory. That's why he wants us to have the same bodies, but just redone. So may we hold to the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and also to the bodily resurrection of the believer in the likeness of Christ's own resurrection body.